All right, so, we're diving into some pretty fascinating stuff today.
Yeah, definitely.
We've gotten some requests to dig into this concept of general revelation.
Right.
And specifically, we're looking at Dr. Robert A. Peterson's work on this from his series on revelation and scripture.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
It's a really good one. And specifically, we're going to be looking at session seven,
Okay.
where he really, kind of unpacks the nuts and bolts of this whole idea. So our mission today is to really understand, how does God make himself known
Right.
to all of humanity,
Yeah.
not just, those who have the Bible or, specific religious traditions, but like to everyone
Through creation.
through creation and also through this kind of inner sense of morality.
Right, that we all seem to have.
That seems to be, kind of
So yeah,
universal.
exactly.
We're going to be focusing on some key passages.
Okay.
We'll be looking at Romans 1:1825,
Got it.
John 1:3-9,
Okay.
Romans 1:1:32,
Okay.
and Romans 2:1-16. So quite a bit to cover.
Yeah, sounds like it.
What are your initial, kind of thoughts on this whole idea of general revelation? I mean, it's kind of a, a big concept.
Yeah, no, it is a big concept. And I think what's fascinating to me is, we often think of God revealing himself specifically through, scripture or through religious experiences. But this idea that he's also revealing himself through the world around us and within us, even, that's a pretty profound thought.
It is, and it kind of makes you rethink your, your everyday experiences.
Exactly.
Because if it's true, then every, every sunset or every, interaction you have with another person could potentially be
Yeah.
a point of contact with God.
That's right.
So let's jump in. Let's start with what Peterson calls this external general revelation. So
Okay.
this is the idea that God reveals himself through creation. And Romans 1:1825 is like the central passage for this.
Yeah, that's a key one for sure.
And I think, one of the things that Peterson really highlights is that it's not like God's just kind of like hiding little clues in
Yeah.
creation for us to find. It's like he's being pretty upfront about it.
It's blatant, you know?
Yeah, like Romans 1:20 is so clear. It says God's invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, are clearly seen and understood by what he has made.
It's not subtle.
No, not at all. And he's saying that this has been evident, since the creation of the world.
Right from the get-go.
So it's not like, this is some new idea that people have come up with. It's like this has been, built into the fabric of reality from the beginning.
That's really interesting.
I mean, you really can't escape it.
Yeah, if that's the case, then it's everywhere.
Everywhere. And Peterson, he breaks it down really helpfully in terms of, like the how, what, when,
Oh,
where.
that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, so the how is creation itself.
Okay.
The what is God's eternal power and divine nature,
Right.
which, implies, that he's the creator.
He's the one behind it all.
He's awesome in the, literal sense of the word.
Yeah.
He's powerful. He's, divine.
It's hard to argue with that when you look at the, the vastness of space or the complexity of a single cell.
Exactly. Like you think about the intricacies of, the human eye or,
Yeah.
the way that ecosystems are so delicately balanced.
Yeah, the world is full of mind-blowing things.
And then the when is constantly, Peterson really stresses this, that it's not like God revealed himself through creation and then kind of like
When's that?
went silent. It's like
Yeah.
this is a continuous ongoing revelation.
That's powerful.
And then the where is, as far as creation extends,
So everywhere, basically.
universally.
Which is interesting because, that brings up the question of how different people respond to this.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge point.
Because if it's universal, then everyone's experiencing it.
Right. And Peterson actually contrasts this with, Psalm 19, which also talks about, God's revelation through creation. But he points out that Psalm 19 is written within the context of, God's covenant people, Israel.
Right. So they already have a relationship with him.
Yeah, they already have the special revelation.
Yeah, a word of God.
And their response to seeing God in creation is one of, worship and joy and, recognition. It's like a positive feedback loop.
It's like they're seeing what they already know to be true.
Exactly. But in Romans 1, the context is much broader. It's all of humanity.
The whole enchilada.
And the response that Paul describes is actually quite different.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound so joyful.
No, not at all. Romans 1:1821, he talks about how humanity is actually suppressing this truth.
Wow. So it's there, but they're choosing not to see it.
Yeah, it's like they're deliberately turning away.
That's wild.
Like, instead of acknowledging God and being grateful, you know, they're descending into worthless thinking. Their hearts are darkened.
I mean, that's heavy stuff.
It is. And it makes you wonder, why is that? If it's so clear, why are people so resistant to it?
Yeah, what's driving that? I mean, if it's right there in front of you, why turn away from it?
That's the big question, you know, and Peterson doesn't really give a definitive answer.
Right.
But he does point to the consequences.
Yeah, which are pretty serious.
Yeah, he talks about God's judgment and, you know, the declaration that humanity is without excuse.
Wow. So there's a real accountability here.
Definitely. And he connects this, you know, rejection to the moral decay and the depraved mind that he describes later in the chapter.
So it's not just a matter of belief. It's actually affecting how people live their lives.
Absolutely. It has real world consequences.
Makes you think.
It does. So let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And look at John 1:3-9.
Okay.
Because this passage kind of builds on our understanding of external general revelation.
Right. So how does John approach it?
Well, he introduces the Word, you know, who Peterson identifies as the pre-incarnate Son of God.
Right.
And he says that the Word is the agent through whom all things were made.
So it's not just that creation reflects God, it's that the Son actually created it.
Yeah, and that adds like a whole other dimension to it.
Yeah, it's more personal in a way.
Definitely. And then verse 4 is so beautiful. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men.
I love that verse.
And Peterson interprets this light as another aspect of God's general revelation.
So the light is the revelation.
Yeah, it's like this inherent illumination that comes from the Word's role in creation.
Like a spark of the divine within us.
Exactly. And then, you know, you get to verse 5 and John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Powerful imagery.
And Peterson sees this as representing, you know, this ongoing struggle between God's revelation and human opposition.
So even though people are trying to suppress the truth, it can't be extinguished.
Yeah, it's like the light keeps shining even in the midst of darkness.
That's encouraging.
It is. And then Peterson also points out this really interesting thing about the structure of John's prologue.
Oh, what's that?
It's a chiasm.
A chiasm.
Yeah, which is like a literary device where the words or concepts are mirrored.
Okay.
And the way that John structures it, it really emphasizes the incarnation.
The coming of the Son into the world.
Yeah, and Peterson's point is that this structure is highlighting the fact that the Son was revealing God even before he became human.
Through his role as creator.
Exactly, through creation and through this inherent light that he brings into the world.
That's amazing.
It is. So just to kind of sum up John's contribution here, Peterson says it's that the Son is the active creator. This revelation is ongoing. It faces resistance, but ultimately it prevails.
It's a hopeful message in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Like God's not giving up on us.
Even though we might be giving up on him.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about external general revelation, God revealing himself through creation.
The stuff we can see and experience in the world around us.
Exactly. Now let's turn inward.
Ooh. Getting introspective.
And talk about what Peterson calls internal general revelation.
Okay.
This is the idea that the law of God is written on the human heart.
That's a powerful concept.
It is. And he starts by looking at Romans 1:32 before moving into Romans 2.
Okay. So why start there?
Well, Romans 1:32 kind of acts as a bridge.
A bridge between the external and the internal.
Exactly. Because in that verse, Paul says that even though people know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they still do them.
Yeah, and they even approve of others who do the same things.
Right. And Peterson's point is that this knowing this inherent sense of justice and consequence. Yeah.
Like we know it's wrong even if we do it.
Exactly. It comes from the law that's inscribed on our hearts.
So it's like this deep down moral compass.
Yeah. And it's present even in people who seem, you know, morally bankrupt.
That's really interesting.
It is. And then this leads into Romans 2:1-16, which Peterson calls the, you know, the classical text for understanding internal general revelation.
Okay, so this is where Paul really unpacks it.
Yeah, he starts by saying that, you know, those who sin without the Mosaic law will still perish.
So even if you've never read the Ten Commandments.
Right, you're still accountable.
Because there's a universal standard.
And then he says that those under the law will be judged by it.
So everybody's accountable in some way.
Yeah. And the point is that it's not just about having a written code. It's about this deeper principle of, you know, right and wrong.
That transcends culture and religion.
Exactly. And then we get to verse 13, which is kind of a tricky one.
Okay. What's the catch?
Well, it says, the doers of the law who will be justified.
That does sound a bit confusing.
Yeah, and Peterson points out that there are different ways to interpret this.
Okay.
Some scholars see it as referring to those who are saved by grace and then live in obedience.
So it's about grace, not works.
Right, while others see it as highlighting an ideal standard that no one can actually achieve.
Like it's setting the bar impossibly high.
Yeah, but regardless of how you interpret that specific verse,
the core idea is still there.
The core idea of internal general revelation is still there.
Okay, so what is that core idea?
Well, Romans 2.14:15 is really clear about it.
Okay, let's hear it.
Paul says that Gentiles who don't have the Mosaic law, by nature, do what the law requires.
So they're doing the right thing even without knowing the rules.
Yeah, and he says that this shows that the work of the law is written on their hearts.
It's like it's instinctive.
Yeah, and he gives two pieces of evidence for this.
Okay.
One is their conscience, that inner voice that can either accuse or excuse their actions.
That little voice we all know.
And the other is their conflicting thoughts. You know, that sense of inner turmoil when we know we've done something wrong.
Yeah, like that feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Exactly. And Peterson, you know, he gives this really interesting modern example.
I like those.
He talks about people who identify as spiritual but not religious. You know, the N-O-N-E-S.
Yeah, I've heard that term.
And he points out that even though they may not adhere to a specific religious framework.
Right.
They often still exhibit strong moral convictions.
Like they still believe in being good people.
Yeah, like they'll be faithful in their relationships or honest in their dealings or, you know, they'll raise their kids with good values.
It's like they have a sense of morality even without religion.
Exactly. And Peterson says it's hard to explain that solely through societal conditioning.
It's deeper than that.
Yeah, it suggests that there's something more innate going on.
I think that makes sense.
And he argues that this internal revelation is universal. It's present in all humans from the very beginning.
From Adam and Eve on down.
Yeah, and he connects this to the idea that humanity was created with a moral compass.
In a state of original holiness and righteousness.
Exactly. So it's not like this moral awareness was imposed on us from the outside.
It's part of who we are.
Yeah, it's woven into the fabric of our being.
That's beautiful.
It is. And Peterson, you know, he describes our conscience as this kind of internal gauge.
Like a barometer.
Yeah, or a thermometer. Mm-hmm. You know, it can tell us when we're in alignment with this law on our hearts.
And when we're not.
Exactly. But he also cautions us that conscience isn't infallible.
Right. It can be messed up.
Yeah, it can be seared or misguided or oversensitive.
So we can't always trust our feelings.
No, we need to balance it with, you know, reason and scripture and, you know, wise counsel.
And the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to kind of bring it all together, Peterson's argument here is that God reveals himself not only through creation, but also through this inner moral law.
It's like a double whammy.
Yeah. And these two forms of revelation, they actually work together.
How so?
Well, creation, you know, reveals God's power and his divinity.
Right. The vastness, the complexity.
Exactly. And our internal moral sense reflects his righteousness and justice.
So we get a pretty comprehensive picture.
Even before we consider, you know, special revelation.
That's a foundation.
Yeah. So as we kind of wrap up here, what do you think are the most important things for our listeners to take away from Peterson's explanation of general revelation?
Well, for me, the big takeaways are the clarity and the universality of it.
Like it's not hidden.
No, it's right there in front of us and within us.
And it's accessible to everyone.
Yeah, you don't need a special decoder ring or anything.
Exactly. And Peterson really emphasizes that this revelation is enough to hold us accountable.
We can't say we didn't know.
No, we're without excuse.
But it's also important to remember that general revelation alone doesn't give us the full picture.
Right. It doesn't tell us about salvation or redemption.
That's where special revelation comes in.
Exactly. The Bible, the person of Jesus.
The good stuff.
The good stuff. And, you know, one thing that Peterson really hammers home is that despite the clarity and the universality of general revelation,
people still reject it.
Yeah, there's this persistent human tendency to suppress the truth.
It's like we're hardwired to ignore it.
Or to distort it, or to just flat out deny it.
And that has consequences.
Yeah, because it leaves us, you know, accountable.
Without excuse.
So I think a good question for our listeners to ponder is, you know,
what should they be thinking about?
How do these two forms of general revelation, how do they intersect in your own life?
Right. Like, what does it mean for you?
Yeah, like when you look up at the night sky and you're just awestruck by the vastness and beauty of it all.
Yeah, or when you feel that pang of guilt when you know you've done something wrong.
What are those experiences telling you about God?
And about your relationship with him.
And how are you responding to those inherent forms of knowledge about the divine?
Big questions.
Yeah, but I think they're worth wrestling with.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive into general revelation.
It's been a pleasure.
And we'll be back next time with more insights from the world of theology and scripture.
Until then,
keep searching, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
See you next time.